In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that was created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me has surpassed me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace after grace from his fullness, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side, he has revealed him."
And I'm just going to read the first snippet of Hebrews as well. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs.
Well, welcome 6 p.m. to our weekend away. We'll just let the sound guys get my voice. So look at this lectern. This is a way better lectern than the one we have at church. This is one that real theology can happen from. It says that good Bible teaching is going to happen. I can't promise that, but we can pray to God that this weekend it would be good. So let's pray that that might happen. Let's talk to God now. Father, we do thank you for your Son, that he is the exact representation of your nature, that your fullness dwells in him. And we pray that as we come today to meet as your people, we might hear you speak through him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, keep your handouts open to the first talk there. So I've got some notes that are going to come up on the screen throughout the talk that will just give you a sense of where we're going, some titles for each of the different points. But my goal for this weekend is that everyone in this room would see Jesus clearly, or see him more clearly than you see him now, and that you would indeed put your trust in him. Listen to what he says, and follow him even when life gets hard. When being a Christian gets hard, and when you feel like giving up on this whole Christian walk. That is my goal, that we see him for who he really is, listen to his wonderful voice, and call, and then trust him and love him with everything that we have. Because my first question is, who are you guys listening to? Who are you listening to? Now, you guys know this about me and Bernie. We're a little nuts and we decided to have four kids. We're not as crazy as the Boltons, so we went for five, but we got there with four. And it's because I'm an Anglican minister, right? We signed a piece of paper saying you've got to be ready to have your own little church plant if you ever need to go off and do that. And so we are. We're ready to go. By the time we got to Annabelle, we felt like we kind of knew what we were doing. We no longer felt like we were just kind of playing family anymore, pretending to be parents, pretending to be real adults who are actually responsible for another human life. But I tell you what, the first time when we had Nathan, When we had it, took him home from hospital and there's no more midwives or doctors to help us, we had no idea. Like, we were totally faking it at that point. And maybe that explains why eldest kids are the way they are, because parents have no idea and so you're kind of working it out with them. But everybody, and I mean every single person, had an opinion on how we should raise our child. Everybody was an expert. What pram to buy, what car seat we should install, whether you should breastfeed or use a bottle, how to get them to sleep, what milestones they should have hit in their life by that point. And if they hadn't, you've got to quickly take them to a specialist because there's something wrong with your child. Now, here's the thing. Both Bernie and I had no idea. I was 24. She was 23. As I said, we didn't even feel like real adults at that point in our lives. We're just making it up as we go along. And it's hard to know who to listen to when every single person in the world is giving you advice. It's even harder when all the advice is conflicting and you're getting different messages. Who do you listen to? And I remember this one time when I had Nathan by myself. He was about 2 months old. I have him in his little pram. I felt very proud there. I'm walking along, going to the shops. And there was these three older women sitting on the bench. Now, they must have been deaf because I'm pretty sure they thought they were whispering to one another. And one of them just goes, "Look at that, Gene!" And I was like, "What? What's going on? What have I done wrong?" She said, "He's not wearing any socks on that child. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, he's a terrible parent. Oh, yes, he is a terrible parent." And they all nodded in agreement. And I'm just like, I just quickly walked off as fast as I possibly could. And it's really hard to know who to listen to when even the professionals, the midwives, the doctors all told us different things. Who do you listen to? And that's often the problem we have when it comes to God. Because you see, everyone has an opinion about God. And everyone is telling you something about God, even if it's just that God isn't real and that you shouldn't care about him. And it's really hard to know who to listen to when it actually comes to God. And this is a question that really matters. Who are you listening to when it comes to God? Because who you listen to when it comes to God will shape your whole life. It's going to shape your priorities. It's going to shape your attitudes. It's going to shape your work. It's going to shape the rest of your relationships. It's going to shape how you treat other people. And if you believe what the Bible says, it actually has eternal consequences. Who you listen to about God is going to determine whether or not you will actually end up in heaven or hell. You know, the stakes could not be higher at that point when it comes to listening to God. So who are you listening to? Who am I listening to when it comes to God? And what these few verses of Hebrews show us is that God has spoken definitively through his Son. So if you want to know God, you should listen to Jesus. Because that's the first point. God has spoken through his Son. Verse 1. So let's get into it. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And you know, the first thing we see is that we have a God who speaks. And this is vital to our understanding about who God is. God makes himself known. And that means you and I don't need to try to guess who God is on our own. And that's why so many people, and that's what so many people in our world try to do. They try to figure out God just by themselves. I can do it. I can figure out who God is. And so someone might look at a mountain like this that's going to come up on the screen with that beautiful sunset. And they think to themselves, "Wow. There must be a God. He must be amazing. He must be an artist because look at that." But then another person sees the death of a young mother with four young children and thinks to themselves, "What kind of God would let that happen?" And someone else looks around and says, "Well, I don't see God, and so, well, he can't be real." And the problem with all these approaches is we're trying to work God out on our own. They're just blindly feeling around their way in the dark, trying to figure out what God is like. But if God is a God who speaks, then we don't need to try and figure out who he is on our own. We just need to listen. See, imagine for a second you went to the movies and you went and saw this movie. It's called Collateral Beauty, starring Will Smith. Now, here's my first question for you. I don't know why you went to see this movie because it looks super boring to me. But you're gone. You paid your money. You're sitting there. It's too late to go see Captain Marvel now. You're in the cinemas. And if I asked you to watch that movie and then tell me everything you can about Will Smith, the actor, do you think you could do it? I mean, you could tell me some stuff. You could tell me what he looks like, that he's a man, that his name is Will Smith. You could maybe even tell me whether or not he's a good actor. But other than that, there wouldn't be much to say. Now imagine you've been invited to the red carpet premiere of this movie. I know, I'm sorry, but you had to go. You've been invited. And then you get sat next to Will Smith at the premiere. So now you've got to pretend like you actually care what's happening in the movie. And he invites you back to the after party afterwards. And for some reason, he spends his night with you and he just downloads everything about his life. Now, are you able to tell me about Will Smith? Yes. Because you're not trying to work him out on your own. He has spoken to you. He's made himself known to you. And it's the same with God. We have a God who speaks. And so we just need to make sure we actually listen to him. And so who does God speak through? But there's the problem. How do we know who God speaks through? See, we live in a multicultural and multi-faith country. And there are so many faiths that claim they actually have the words of God. And so how do you and I know which one is right? How do we know who God speaks through? And we see in our passage that the writer of Hebrews tells us God has spoken through one person, his son, definitively. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. That's the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about. So in the past, God spoke to Israel, and he spoke to them through these people called prophets, people who God would raise up, and he gave them his message. And then they went out to Israel to tell everyone about God. And we're told, my kids are getting very distracting at that point. And we're told that he did this at different times and in different ways. And what that means is God just didn't kind of drop the Old Testament down in the desert to Moses. It wasn't Moses just sitting there one day and then all of a sudden the Old Testament just came out of nowhere and there you have it. No, God gradually and slowly over time revealed himself to his people. So over time, they kind of got this picture of who God is and what his plans are for the world and how they should respond to him. And as the years went on, they got more and more a picture of God. But then the writer of Hebrews says, now things are massively different. And the first thing is different is the time. Because we are now in the last days. That's a phrase that those prophets in the Old Testament, they used to use all the time. Last days. And it's the time to describe when God is just going to wrap up this world. He would finish off this world, bring in a new world, a world to come and a new creation. And we are told we live in those last days. And so we are on the edge between the world as we know it and the world that is to come, when God will judge the earth and bring in a new creation. You know what that means? There is not a more important time than for us to listen to God. Because in these last days, God has spoken to us through his son. Literally, it says he has spoken to us through a son. That is, there is now a different category. God no longer just speaks through prophets. No, he speaks to us through the category of a son. He's no longer gradually revealing himself. He has now spoken, ultimately, given us the picture of who he truly is and what his plans are for the world and how you and I should respond to him. I have a really good mate who works down in the southwest of Sydney. And he works and has this excellent Muslim ministry. And he'll often start the conversation that he has with these Muslims by asking them, who do you actually think Jesus is? And he's always told the same two things by every Muslim, he said, every single time. The first thing is that Jesus is just a prophet. And the second is, Jesus is not the Son of God. Those are the two things he is told every single time. I'm not sure if you noticed, but the writer of the Hebrews says the exact opposite. He is saying Jesus is not just a prophet, but that he is the Son of God. And this just isn't a point about debating some finer theological issues. This actually gets to the very heart of whether or not you are a Christian or a Muslim. Because if Jesus is just another prophet in the big category of prophets, then yeah, you listen to him. But he's no greater than any of the other prophets that have spoken before. And if a greater prophet was to come along, well, you know what? You should listen to them because they have the final word of God. But if Jesus really is the Son of God, then that puts him in an entirely different category. And you need to listen to him above any other person who brings us the words of God. And so we see that God is a God who speaks. He is a God who makes himself known. We don't need to work him out for ourselves anymore. We just need to listen. And God speaks through his Son, Jesus. And so if you want to know God's plans for your life, then you must. It is vital you listen to Jesus because he is the Son of God. And what the writer of Hebrews does for the rest of the chapter is just unpack for us what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God. But because I want to take it a little slow, we're only looking at four chapters, I decide we're only going to do the first three verses in this talk. And what we're going to see is that Jesus is the unique Son of God. And why you should listen to him above everyone else. And so the first point that we get, why you should listen to Jesus above everyone else when it comes to God, is because Jesus is the heir and the creator of everything. Verse 2. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. You know why you should listen to Jesus? Because he's the heir and creator of everything. And an heir means that you will inherit something one day. One day, something is actually going to come into your possession. Your parents might leave you their home or their car or their savings, or your grandfather might leave you his favorite wife front undies. Whatever it is, you are going to receive it one day. Jesus is described as the heir of everything. In other words, everything one day is going to belong to him. And it's talking about when Jesus returns, when judgment comes and this world is wrapped up and he brings in a new creation. In the new world, every single thing will belong to Jesus. He will own it all. And we understand why everything will belong to him, because everything belonged to him in the first place. Because he's the creator as well. Everything was made through him. And you know what? If you make something, you own it. So everything in creation now belongs to Jesus, because Jesus is the creator God. He's the creator of the stars and the mountains and the tadpole. And the point is, everything belongs to him. Now why does that mean we should listen to him? We see, if everything belongs to Jesus, then everyone belongs to Jesus. And that means his message is for everyone. You know what I think one of the real dangers we face as Christians, particularly as evangelical Christians, is we can know something is true, but we find it very hard to actually live it out in our daily lives and in the real world. See, it's easy for us to come away this weekend and believe that God's message is for everyone. Yep, I've got it. Jesus is good. His message is for everyone. But there are people out there who say, well, you know what? Jesus is good for you, but he's just not for me. As if Jesus were like a hobby, you know? Like, I'm into flying drones, she's into doing yoga, I like playing football, I go to church, we all have our different hobbies, it's lots of fun. And so it's easy to start thinking, Jesus is just my thing. You come to the weekend away and you're by fellow Christians and you know the message for everyone. You're like, yes, of course the message is for everybody. If I asked everybody in this room, do you think this message of Jesus Christ is for all people everywhere? I guarantee you, all stick your hands up. But when you go back to work on Monday or uni or TAFE, or you're hanging out with some non-Christian friends and you are the only Christian there, and I mean the only one, it is so easy to feel like Jesus' message is just my thing and doesn't really have anything to do with anyone else. And the thing about our church is, even though we have about 100 adults on a Sunday night, it can feel pretty small, can't it? It can feel so easy to retreat into our bubble and think the gospel is just for us and has nothing to do with the people out there. Jesus is the heir and the creator of everything. Everyone belongs to him, and his message is for everyone. His message is for your work colleagues and your friends at uni and TAFE. His message is for that hairdresser that you go to. His message is for the barista who serves you your morning coffee. His message is for all, because he is the heir and creator. And so that means you need to listen to him. That means everyone needs to listen to him. That's the first thing. The second thing is, he's the radiance of God's glory. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature. What does that mean? Really, what does that mean? For Jesus to be the radiance of God's glory means when you see the glory of Jesus, you are in fact seeing the glory of God himself. Just like the sun, it's coming up on the screen for you, just like the sun's rays, when they touch your face and you feel the warmth, that's the warmth of the sun. When you see the light, that is the light of the sun itself. It's from the same thing. And we're told when we see the glory of Jesus, we are in fact seeing the glory of God himself. That's what our first Bible reading was all about. John chapter 1, verse 14, we observed his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when we see the grace of Jesus, when you see his love for us, when you see his kindness to us, that is the grace of the Father. And when you hear his truth and the message of Jesus, that is the message, that gospel message, that's just not the message of Jesus, that is the message of God the Father. And why is that the case? Because we are told he is the exact expression of God's nature. The passage is saying, what makes God God is true for Jesus as well. Or to put it real simple, Jesus is God. God exists as Father, Son, and Spirit. And Jesus is no less God than the Father. He is fully God. See, he doesn't just act like God or give us God's words. He doesn't just inspire us to follow God. No, he is God. Come to us. Do you see why that means you should listen to him? God hasn't just sent a messenger to give us his word. He has now come into the world and he speaks directly to us and gives us his message. You guys have heard of Martin Luther, right? The great kind of German monk who turned reformer and completely transformed the way that we read the Bible. He said these words about Jesus: to love any God who is not exactly like Jesus is idolatry. And that truth gives us huge confidence to listen to the Son, because when we listen to him, we know we are actually hearing the very words of God. Do me a favor for just a second. Just picture Jesus right now. You don't have to close your eyes or do anything like that, but just picture him in your mind. Just picture his grace. You know, he ate with tax collectors. He had compassion on the leper. He actually went to the cross to die for wretched sinners like us. That is exactly what the Father is like. And you hear Jesus' comforting words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That is God the Father speaking to us through the Son. We should listen to the Son because he is God himself and brings us his very words. And so finally, the third reason we should listen to him is he sustains all things by his powerful word. Halfway through verse 3, we're told that Jesus, the Son, sustains all things by his powerful words. I think this is the picture that we often get when we hear this. We think Jesus is doing this. Can you bring it up for me, Matt? The next slide. Next one, go back. That one. I think that's what we think. Jesus is kind of there. He's got the world cupped in his hands and he's sustaining the world. That's what we think. It's actually more a picture, this verse, of Jesus tucking the whole world under his arm like a football. And he's carrying it all the way long for his goals to the end of history. You see, Jesus has given us incredible promises. He says, "I'm going to actually forgive your sins." No, really, I will. I'm going to wash them away. I will give you my spirit. I will welcome you into God's family and bring you into the new creation. And then what he does is he makes these promises and he picks up the whole universe and he tucks it under his arms and he carries it to those goals. He makes what he says will happen, happen. And do you know how he does it? By his powerful word. And we know what Jesus, when Jesus speaks, things happen, right? What do you say to the wind and the waves? Be still. Bang, they are. He says to the leper, be clean, and he is. He says to a dead man, get up and live. And he does. Jesus' promise to us in the gospel are great. And he tells us he will make them happen. I don't actually know how you're feeling about God and Jesus and your Christian walk at the moment. I don't know how you feel about the gospel at the moment, but to me, it feels like there are so many roadblocks for the gospel going forward, right? Does anyone else feel like that? So many gospels in our society, so many reasons in our society at the moment stopping the gospel going forward. Thanks, Roz. And you look and you think, can Jesus' promises really come about? Will Jesus really be the king? When so many people around us aren't Christians, we have trouble reaching our community. People don't want to talk to us about Jesus anymore. They don't want to engage us. They don't want to come to our gatherings anymore. Can our church at Northmead, 6 p.m. of 100 people, really do anything? And we look at these roadblocks and we think, how can these promises actually happen? You know why that happens to us? Because each of us has forgotten who is carrying the ball under his arm. Because Jesus has picked up the universe, he's tucked it under there, and he's charging to that trial line, and nothing can stop him. And so we should listen to him. Because what he says will happen, will happen. So at the end of verse 3, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there is so much we could say about these verses. But there's just one thing that I want to look at. The one thing is that Jesus, who has all power and authority, Jesus, who is now sitting at the right hand of God himself, and what that means is Jesus has been given all power and authority. And so now he rules the whole universe. At that moment, Jesus was enthroned in heaven. That was the moment that God declared without hesitation, this one, Jesus, he's my son. You need to listen to him. You know, he'd done it several times throughout Jesus' life. God had done this at Jesus' baptism, at Jesus' transfiguration. He said it as his resurrection, but at his ascension. I don't know how much you think about this. That was the moment when God definitively said, "This is my son. He is the king of the universe, so you better close your mouths, open your ears, and start listening to him." I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this question, but who is qualified to talk to you about God, that you should listen to them about God? Because how do you work that out? How do you work it out who's right, right? Is it just the guy speaking at the front? I just say, you know what? I reassure you, I went to Moore College, guys. 4 years under my belt, 2 degrees. You should listen. What if I'm wrong? What if a group of friends says, you know what? When you listen to this guy, I'm like, he's amazing. The words of God that he speaks, phenomenal. What if they're wrong? Do you just go with the biggest religion? I mean, there's lots of Christians around the world, over 1 billion of them. That many people can't be wrong, right? Of course they can be. How do you know who to listen to? When you think about it, and I mean really think about it, there's only one person in the whole world who is qualified to tell us who we should listen to about God, and it's God. He is the only one who can tell us to listen who we should listen to. And what he has told us is that when Jesus ascended into heaven, that is God saying, "This is my son, who is God, now listen to him." And when you think about Jesus' death on the cross, that was the moment that the whole world was saying, "No, we don't want your king and we don't want his message." But when God raised Jesus from the dead and sat him at the right hand, God was saying to the whole world, "Yes, this is my son. He is my king. Now listen to him." And that is so helpful. Because all around us, there are voices shouting, saying, "No, he's not the king. He's not the son of God. Don't listen to him." But you need to listen to what God is saying right now. Listen to his son. And so who are you listening to? All around us, our culture can make you feel like you are pressured to stop listening to Jesus. Your friends and the media bombard you by saying, you know what? Your Jesus and your faith, that's a joke. Christians are hateful. We're bigots. Our message is completely irrelevant. And you hear that message over and over again. And you know what it does? Well, we eventually start listening to it. And the point that you need to remember is God has spoken through his son. And we need to listen to him. And so let's pray that we do that right now. Father, we do thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We pray we would indeed listen to him. As voices around us tell us that he isn't real, that he isn't important, that instead we will listen to you who has seated him at your right hand. And we look forward to the day when he returns and everyone will see that he really is your king. Amen.